Welcome back to the Student Voice Podcast. This is Akil.
And this is Anissa.
And this is Gabriel.
And you're listening to the first episode of our second season. And our first episode is going to be about Juneteenth. So what is Juneteenth?
So going into that, according to history.com, Juneteenth, or which is short for June 19th, as well as Freedom Day, honors the end of slavery and is considered the longest running African-American holiday. This marks the day when federal troops arrived in Galveston, Texas, in 1865 to take control of the state and ensure that all enslaved people were freed. The troops' arrival came a full 2.5 years after signing the Emancipation Proclamation. This was because even after the signing, slavery had remained relatively unaffected in Texas until U.S. General Gordon Granger stood on Texas soil and read General Orders Number 3. The people of Texas are informed that, in accordance with the proclamation from the executive of the United States, all slaves are free.
And to give a bit of context about the Emancipation Proclamation, that document, which was made effective on January 1st, 1863, a whole 2.5 years before Juneteenth, that document declared that all enslaved people in the states currently engaged in rebellion against the Union shall be thenceforward and forever free.
Although there was the Emancipation Proclamation and we have Juneteenth, I like to call that free with reservation, as in slavery still exists under the 13th Amendment today. The 13th Amendment states that neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime where the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. So basically, we have slavery as punishment for a crime today. And that's why I call it free with reservation, because we still have the mass incarceration of Black people, specifically Black men. But yeah, basically, it's like it never ended.
Good point, Anissa. So moving over to just kind of a general question for the three of us. How did y'all learn about Juneteenth?
You want to answer that first, Akil?
Yeah. So I remember a couple of years ago, my dad tells a lot of stories, and part of that is just like telling our family history. So it might have been like 2017, maybe 2018, but that's when I first started hearing about Juneteenth. And I asked my teacher about it, Miss Adebisi, who was like my mentor, and like, I love this woman, she's the best. And she always made sure to teach a really comprehensive history, especially because just the basic curriculum at our schools just weren't covering much. So between my dad's stories from our family and my teacher, Miss Adebisi, that's kind of where I learned about Juneteenth. But I really started learning a lot more in the wake of last year's protests. So, yeah.
For me, it was like 2017, and I actually learned it from TV, surprisingly. Not really, because obviously we didn't learn about that at school. But I was watching Blackish, and they had like this Juneteenth episode with the Roots, and it was like an animated little song that they did. And that was like the first time I heard about that, which is kind of sad. But I mean, it's America. What do you expect?
Ayo.
That's all right, because I didn't even learn about this, sadly, until last year in the heat of the protests during actual Juneteenth. Because, of course, I learned on social media, because God forbid I learned anything about any actual history in our school system. Which I think will lead us to our next question. How did the 2020 protest elevate Juneteenth?
Yeah, I've got to say, like, I remember thinking before last year's protest, like, you know, having the background with like my dad's stories and what my teacher taught me, I was like, you know, I don't know. I just felt like it was easier to undersell the importance of it and just being like, yeah, you know, it was more official as an end to slavery than the Emancipation Proclamation. I was like, you know, that's cool. That's a cool bit of history, but it wasn't like significant. I never celebrated it. I didn't make it a point, but like seeing people really come out the woodwork, like everyone from like young people, old people, white people, Black people, Asian, like everyone was going ham last summer. And even though the engagement has definitely died down, unfortunately, just seeing that amount of attention towards Black Lives Matter and then seeing that as a catalyst for elevating the holiday really made me think, you know what, I definitely want to celebrate this moving forward and like just really pay attention to the history. So hence why I'm going to be celebrating it this year with some classmates at my school.
That's awesome.
I think it's important to note, while the 2020 protests did bring like positive what's the word, positive excitement around Juneteenth and like making it more well known. It also did lead to some performative activism with like similar to like Pride Month. One example is like the Grove in California, it's in Los Angeles, how it's all this rainbows everywhere. And then July 1st, it's all gone. None of those stores are donating to LGBTQ organizations or supporting those people or speaking for those people or anything like that, elevating their voices. That's what we're seeing with like Target and like Walmart and JCPenney with having like those Juneteenth t-shirts. And then what are you going to do? Like, are you going to follow up with donating and supporting Black people and supporting organizations like Black Lives Matter or whatever else it may be?
It's really just another way to bring more capital to different corporations.
Definitely. Capitalism breeds greed. But yeah, it's kind of sad how it's just like, while it is good that it's bringing attention to it, it's like also, why is it only happening for profit, you know? Mm-hmm. It's kind of sad, but it's similar to like how with the Juneteenth, but I don't know, Kill, do you want to touch on this? With like how it's being recognized as a national holiday, but like, and then what? Like, what's the next step after that?
Yeah. So I think yesterday, so we're recording this on June 16th. I think it was June 15th. The Senate unanimously passed a bill that was going to recognize Juneteenth as a holiday. And with that amount of support in the Senate, which is the most divided chamber, it's probably going to become a law once it reaches the House and once it reaches President Biden's desk. And like on the surface, that's a really cool thing. Like, you know, it'll be a federal holiday. So like federal workers have the day off. Like that's in many ways a cool thing. But then as Anissa pointed out, like that really gives a lot of our representatives and even our corporations this blank slate to be like, oh, look, like it's a holiday and it's going to be like every other holiday. Like even things like Memorial Day is to commemorate people that have died, for instance, right? No one does that. It's literally like, oh, go to BrandsMart USA and, you know, pick up a TV for 50% off because of Memorial Day. Like it's this weird dynamic where like once you make something a federal holiday in the US, it immediately becomes corporate and it immediately becomes profit driven, which is really sad. And like, I wish, personally speaking, we could balance it, you know, just being able to be like, yeah, let's continue to remember the spirit of a holiday because that's why it's a holiday in the first place. While, you know, adding corporate whatever, because we live in a capitalist society, you know, what that should be like icing on the cake. But no, the whole cake is just icing, which means it's a terrible cake because there's no substance. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, I think it's just entirely frustrating because I know that now that they're making it a holiday, I feel that when we try getting actual things done that we need for Black Americans, they're just going to use it as a slap in our face. Like, we gave you a holiday. What more do you need? Yeah. When actively they are in Iowa, I know that you are not allowed anymore to talk about the race theory and you are not allowed to have anything controversial go on in the classrooms, K-12, and I believe in colleges. So I just know it's a distraction. It's a slap in our face of you don't matter to us.
Right. Yeah, not to say we're not like thankful for like having it recognized as a national holiday, but we need much more than just our holiday that Black people have been celebrating for years. Like, we've already been celebrating it, but like, what are you going to do in addition to recognizing our holiday? Are you going to support bills that like support the liberation of Black people that are working to end mass incarceration? Like, what's the next step? Like, we're happy, but it's not enough.
Exactly. It's just a pretty pin.
Yeah. And speaking of laws that like, that really have substance and really are like, let me backtrack. So like what came to mind, right, was like in Florida where I'm from and where Gabriel's also from, our governor sometime in like mid-April, I think April 20th or so, signed like a quote, anti-rioting pro-law enforcement bill. And that's really coded language for like literally suppressing protests, which is a constitutionally protected right on a federal level, state level, and local level. But Florida, like many other states, are like, you know what? We kind of didn't like what happened last summer. We kind of don't want to be called out on our racism, our, you know, really biased policing, like all these things. And we're going to suppress people. And it's laws like that that prevent actual equity from being achieved, which is really frustrating, you know? And it's it's weird having the perspective of knowing how like ham everybody went last summer, and then like these laws just slowly just creeping into our law books. Just, oh, by the way, you can get fined $500 if you, you know, block a street in a peaceful way. Like, that's protest.
It doesn't even feel like it's going as slowly. It just feels like they're not hiding it anymore. It's just becoming more blatant that they don't care and that they want us to stay submissive. Like, if you read closely on that bill, it makes it legal to have people run you over if you are blocking a road.
Yeah.
They no longer care about our well-being, whether they have before or not.
Period.
It's just incredibly frustrating.
But hey, holidays!
Yay!
I wonder if I'll keep that in when I edit it.
Okay, I don't know if I should mention this, but like, would we rather people be, or not people, but people in charge, like government people, would we rather them be performative, or would we just rather them say straight up, we don't care? Because I don't know how I'm feeling about it.
I'd rather them just stay straightforward. This is just, it's sneaky, it's ridiculous, it's disgusting. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't give me the right vibes. Like, I know you're garbage, you could just tell me it's okay.
If you don't like Black people, just say that.
No, literally. Or like, who was it with the kente cloth? Do y'all know what I'm talking about?
Oh my gosh, when Elizabeth Warren was there kneeling,
yes,
last summer, there's this, oh. And that, exactly, like that. Like,
what does that do for us?
Nothing, not a thing. And here's the thing, this is the same woman, right? This is the same woman who, when the verdict for Derek Chauvin came out in April, this is the same woman who said George Floyd's sacrifice was like this thing that, you know, catalyzed the movement, as if he was like, yes, I'm going to be a martyr. Like, no one chooses to be murdered brutally. And like,
literally, this is not religion. We are not celebrating people being like
killed, you know? Yeah. So I'm with Gabriel here. Like, as much as it's painful and I personally don't really like conflict, I'd rather someone just wear their opinions on their sleeve so we can just get to the root of issues. Cause like, you can deal with the venom of a snake you see, but if there's like the venom of a snake you don't see, then you don't know what you're dealing with. That's kind of how I look at it. Bad vibes all around.
Literally.
And what I was saying, like, oh, go ahead.
No, you're good.
Okay. I was going to say, like, what I was saying with like the protests last year, like in my community with like kids that I knew that I went to school with, those are the same kids that are calling like me and my classmates like N-word, saying all these like minstrel jokes, like y'all, and then y'all are out here saying Black Lives Matter. Like, do you really believe it, or are you just like trying to like create a facade, or I don't know what it is, but it's kind of like, you don't like Black people, just say that. You don't need to like prance around with the little banner and pretend. Like, I don't get it.
It's something else, because then they make it an aesthetic. Like, you've seen those Hello Kitty BLM ACAB, right?
Hello Kitty says, bro, leave that girl in Japan. She has nothing to do with this.
Oh no.
Hey yo.
They're like, yeah, I have this in my profile. Isn't it so pretty?
But to be, not to be, but like, I guess to at least paint a silver lining on like performative activism, not even performative activism, but just the attention Black liberation movements have gotten in the past year or so. It's, at least personally, it's nice to see more engagement, even if some of the engagement is just happening more in like our political fields. Cause like public engagement was super high in the summer, then it dipped after the election. But there's still a lot of stuff going on with people that are already politically active, which is nice. It was nice for a moment when a lot of people were engaged, but it's also better, personally speaking, to have deeper involvement from fewer people than to have superficial involvement from a lot of people. So I think that's something we're getting to see a lot more of as the year has gone by.
I get what you're saying. I think like the superficial involvement did a good job with like raising awareness, but it's like the people that truly cared that were able to continue that work in those conversations and like actually bringing about change rather than just like like looking at the issue, but not addressing it or working towards a solution.
I'm sorry, it feels like an ad. Then just like the few select good people just see and they're like, yes, fantastic.
Oh, okay, I get what you're saying. Took me a minute up here. No, yeah, it's literally like, yeah, it's like seeing those like Target Black History Month line. But it was kind of weird because it was like some of the shirts were like slay sis, and it was like, I don't know if this is where we were trying to go. At least they might see something at the store that says Juneteenth and like go home and like think about it. I don't know.
As the great J. Cole said, change is slow, always has been, always will be. That's Omar.
That's the quote.
Yeah. I don't think that was just J. Cole, but that's what came to mind. Alrighty, y'all. So to close out our discussion today about Juneteenth, we want to share some really key resources with you on how you can impact change in a positive and substantive way. And we're going to include that in the show notes. There's a really good resource page that we found from a user on TikTok. So make sure to follow them, first of all, and also check out the resources because it's really substantive. So thanks for joining us on today's episode. We really hope you enjoyed, and we're looking forward to sharing the rest of season 2 with you. Peace.
Happy Juneteenth. Bye.
Bye.